I would like to read to you today the words found in Romans chapter 1, written by the Apostle Paul to that church at Rome. Certainly they are wonderful words of life, as Philip Bliss, the songwriter, stated in his song. Listen as we read them. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had prepared afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So far we read God's holy word as we find it in these first 25 verses of Romans chapter 1. Let's see God's face in prayer, giving thanks for this message of the gospel, also begging him to teach us, even as Paul and the people at the church at Rome were taught. Our Father, we give thanks as we come to thee through Christ. We give thanks in his name for the blessings given. We give thanks for thy love in giving him, thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We give thanks for those words that he himself could speak to Nicodemus, and that are recorded by John for us. We give thanks that they are eternally true, and we pray, Father, that they might be applied to us, even today, each one of us, for those who know the blessing of not perishing through faith in Christ. We pray that thou would increase our faith, increase our love, increase our obedience, increase our willingness to speak of that faith throughout our nation and throughout the world, even as this church at Rome is described as, that their faith was heard throughout the whole world. Father, we pray that the faith of the church again might be known in each nation where it is placed, and that it might cause that message to be preached to all nations. We pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to bless the Scriptures, thy holy word, wherever they are proclaimed. We pray also that the Holy Spirit may call many laborers to go into the fields which are still white unto the harvest, and where that word must still be proclaimed and has not been known. We pray for the many in ignorance concerning the gospel. But yet, as we have read, Father, we know they have no excuse before thee not to know thee as the great and mighty God, not to bow before thee as their Creator and as their Lawgiver. We pray, Father, that those who do recognize thee in nature may want to know more of thee and will seek to find through the gospel and through those who proclaim it that message of Christ and the message of reconciliation that is given in the Scriptures. We pray for those who have special needs, those in sickness and sorrow and pain, the homeless, the hungry, those in war-torn lands. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on each and every one of them, and we pray that through these afflictions many may learn not only the need of the body and the material needs, but above all the need of the soul, and that they might be made to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, knowing that then all these other things will be added through Christ, in whose name we give thanks, and now ask the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us in these words. Amen. I would like to begin today to consider this epistle of Paul. It is a wonderful letter to that church. It is addressed to the church at Rome, to those who are called to be saints. It is also an epistle that gives a very general teaching to all of mankind. It teaches those who are in the greatest ignorance in the world, who have known the least of the preaching of the gospel, but who are without excuse because of the things shown in creation. And it also speaks to the most religious and those who have been blessed with having the Word of God, and not only having it, but who would believe that they can teach it to others, as we see so plainly taught in the second chapter. We think of the many statements that we have in this epistle of the blessing of the gospel. We see that in the beginning of this first chapter. We see it again in the 16th verse, where Paul states, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." We read of the blessing of the gospel given to those who stand guilty before God, as spoken of in the third chapter. And throughout that epistle, we see the gospel mentioned and taught. We see also the doctrine of our depravity, our sinfulness, taught so plainly, as Paul speaks of that, particularly in the third chapter. We see also the teaching how God is sovereign, not only as creator and sustainer of the world, but also sovereign in showing mercy and making the gospel known, as we read very plainly in Romans chapter 9. So there are many things that we can learn from this epistle. It is sometimes described as an epistle that describes in the first part of it sin, and then salvation, and then service or a life of gratitude in the latter part of the epistle. There are many different ways in which we can look at this, but certainly it is an epistle that honors God. It is an epistle that shows us the gospel of Christ. It is also an epistle that shows us the need of the working of the Holy Spirit and the blessed witness that He gives when we come to acknowledge these things as true. He first of all convicting us that we might do that, and then He giving witness that we are, through Christ, the children of God. These people at Rome had that blessed beginning as Paul writes to them and addresses them in this epistle. It begins with the words, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Though Paul uses his name first, he is introducing himself as a servant to another. He is a messenger. He is a witness of one far greater than himself. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he stated, we preach not ourselves, but ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here he is introducing himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what all of us should be. Not all servants necessarily doing the same thing, but every one of us should be a servant to Him who is, first of all, our Creator. He is the one through whom God made the worlds. Here He is introduced or spoken of in the way of the gospel. That certainly has to be recognized, and that is the message that in the main has to be preached to every creature. The gospel of Christ, here called also the gospel of God. It is God's gospel in giving Christ, and it is God's gospel then to us through Christ. The good news for guilty sinners. It comes from God. It comes from Him who created the world for His own glory, and who put us in this world also for His glory, that we might glorify Him. We have failed. We have become disobedient. We are rebels. We listened to Satan, the enemy of God and the enemy of our souls. But God continues to come to us. He continues to rule in the heavens. And though He rules as Creator and Lawgiver through Christ, He will find a people and save a people over which He can rule in love, and that will in turn trust in Him and give love to Him. Paul here speaks of not only being a servant of Jesus Christ, but he said called to be an apostle. An apostle was one who had witnessed the life of Christ. Paul was not with the other apostles during the 3 years of the ministry of the Lord Jesus here on earth. He was called later. He describes himself when he writes to the church at Corinth as one who was born out of due time. But he was one who knew of the life of Christ on earth, and for the first part of his own life, Paul hated Christ. He hated the gospel. He hated those who believed the gospel. But he knew of it, but he knew of it only in hatred, in unbelief, in disdain. But the Lord Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus, as we can read in Acts chapter 9, and as he refers to it in Acts chapter 22 and again in chapter 26. He also gives the description of what took place during that time of his conversion in this epistle, in the 7th chapter. Though he doesn't refer there to the time, and he doesn't refer to the outward circumstance, he refers to the teaching that we may believe he experienced at that time when he was stopped by Christ when he was taught and then saved and afterwards called to be an apostle. And as he stated here in the last part of that first verse, separated unto the gospel of God. It is God's gospel. It is God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, who came to him by night, and as recorded in John chapter 3, verse 16, it is the gospel here described as of God. In verse 16, we read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That is not a contradiction. It is rather that it is the gospel of both the Father and the Son. And as we can see in verse 16, what is described as the gospel of Christ, it is called the power of God unto salvation. So we see that is the gospel of Christ, it is the gospel of God, and being the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. That gospel of Christ, or Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures, which we read a little further here, it is that gospel that is God's power unto salvation for you and me. It is the way that God saves us. It is the good news that God rescues us from the perishing way. It is the good news that we, like David, can be taken out of that horrible pit, the pit of sin, the low place in which we have fallen, the place that is lower, Jonathan Edwards said, than the lowest hell. That's how he felt, and that's what he believed he deserved. There are many things known about sin, openly, outwardly. We read of it in our papers. We see it in other mediums that make the news known. We know of those who are punished for sin in the jails and the prisons. We know also many of the results of sin as we see them in our broken homes, as we see them in the terrible havoc that is wrought through sin and the wars that are waged, the hatred that is there, the murder, the stealing, the drunkenness, the adultery, the fornication, all of the immorality, and all of what it brings in its sad results of many times directly associated with death, and always, as God said, the wages of sin is death. Sometimes it can be seen openly, when there are those who sin and die directly because of their sin, even in natural causes. The drunkard often dies in his sin. Those who are guilty in immorality many times die of their sin. It shortens their life in disease in many ways that this sin brings its terrible effects of death. But God has given, in the midst of all of this terrible sin and pollution, this which is often called iniquity, he's given his gospel. He has given his Son. He has given him. It took place 2,000 years ago when we think of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, his life here upon earth for 30-some years, and then how he went to the cross to die for sinners, to die in our stead. That is the gospel of God. Before that took place 2,000 years ago, God told many here on earth about that Christ was going to come. He states in verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He had made it known. Sometimes he spoke it to some people and then recorded it by others, as we can see in the first part of the Scripture. God spoke of the coming of Christ to Adam and Eve, which we describe as the first promise of the gospel. In Genesis chapter 4, we read, "And the Lord said unto the serpent," Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, "The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her seed and thy seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There's the first promise given by God, written later by Moses. Another promise that was given to Abraham. Moses also wrote that at a later date. We read in Genesis chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And listen to this third verse. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Paul, in writing to the Galatians, states, to Abraham was the gospel preached. We can read that in Galatians chapter 3, and here in this 12th chapter of Genesis, the third verse, we see recorded how God preached the gospel to Abraham. "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." What he's really saying to Abraham is, in thee, or in thy seed, in one that will be born in the lineage of Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That would include Abraham. It would also include all others who, with Abraham, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him are saved. Saved from the wrath of God. Saved from their own sin and the power of it. Saved from Satan and his terrible captivity. Saved from all the terrible habits of sin that they can bring upon us, in which we can actually become victims of after we have begun to sin, and often want to sin more and more and continue in it. When the Lord Jesus was born, the angel was sent by God to Joseph, and Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins." Here Paul states, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Lord willing, we'll see more of that next time. Join us then.